Today's Shir's Masechta, Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch on the Mishnah on the bottom Daf Kuf Lamed Ches on the Be'ez. We learned in Daf Kuf Lamed Vav that if somebody writes over his assets to his son with the words Meyoyim Ula'acha Misa, what we interpret that to mean is that the actual asset, the guf, should become the under the ownership from today, but the peiros belong to the father until the father passes away. Our Mishnah begins to discuss what does this mean. So says the Mishnah, Avtoilish, a father could detach the peiros, or machel, and once he takes them off, l'chomish yirtza, since the peiros, as we just finished explaining, belong to the father, so he could do with those peiros whatever he wants. However, mashiniach tolush, what is remains after he passes away, the halacha is harei shel yarshim, that doesn't just belong to the son who's now going to be the yorish of this property, but rather it belongs to all the yarshim, because since they were already detached before the father's passing, so they're not considered part of the property. Rather, they're considered like other assets the father has that are distributed amongst all his yarshim. And not only is that the case, as we just discussed, but even in a situation where the prayers that we're speaking about are ready to be detached, but they're not yet detached, still, at that point, since they're still attached to the ground, they belong to the son. However, say the Rishonim, that's only if we're speaking about the son. So since the son is the owner of this property, and there's a special relationship between the father and the son, so then anything that's attached to the ground, even if it was meant to be detached already, is considered like it's attached to the ground. But if it's somebody else is going to be getting the property and not the payers, then payers that are supposed to be detached already, the halacha is they're considered like a detached and will not go to the person who's now going to own the property. The Rosh, this is the opinion of the Rashbam. The Rosh disagrees, and he says that when we speak about peiros that are detached, says the Rosh, it doesn't only mean what is actually detached, but anything that is supposed to be detached, the halacha treats, says the Rashbam, as it's detached, and even though the son is supposed to get the specific son is supposed to get the property, that is not included in what he's getting. Says the Gemara, Tolushin, our Mishnah spoke about detached fruit, Mechubaloi, but was still connected to the ground, and certainly connected to the ground, we mean to say connected and needs the ground, belongs to the son. Asked the Gemara, Vatanya, the Brisa says, if somebody wrote over his assets to his son, and as we spoke when we learned that sugya, we spoke about a situation where the son sold off those assets before the father passed away. The halacha is the person who bought that asset now is the owner of that asset, but he's only the owner of the asset, not of the payers. And therefore, if there are payers on that property, shomina payers l'lekeach, we're going to assess the value of those payers, and they will have to be paid back. So we see that even though there are payers, and even though they're connected to the ground, they're not treated like the actual property. Answers the Gemara, as we already alluded to. Amula loikasha. Kambimnoi. Our Mishnah speaking about where the father had written over the assets to his son. And the son never sold those assets to anyone else. In such a circumstance, we say that what the father intended to do was give the son the payers that are attached to the property as he passes away. But in the case, ba'achar, where it was sold to someone else, so we don't have that special relationship. It's a business relationship, a seller and a buyer. Hoyel v'data shlodim krayvetz b'noi. So when it's a son, we say he means that when he gave the son, that the property should become his after his death. I'm talking about the father. So there the halacha will be that the son will get any payrus that are connected to the ground. Whereas, when it's not that way, when it's somebody else, there it wasn't meant that this person should be entitled to any payrus. All he bought was the actual property and nothing else. Says the Mishnah. So a person passed away and he left over adult children and children who are still young. And of course, it is the responsibility of the adult children to take care of the younger children, as we're going to discuss. But also, as we're going to see, the needs of adults and the needs of children are very different. Adults need clothing. Children eat more because they don't just eat by meal times. They eat often during the day. So the halacha is, the younger children could say that we're not agreeable that the assets that the father left should be used to buy clothing for the gedolim, that they have these extra, more expensive needs. And the gedolim could say that we're not agreeable that that they should get more food out of this estate. Rather, the halacha is chalken b'shava, they divide everything equally. So, as we're learning, that we're speaking about a case, says the Rashbam, that they have not yet divided the estate, and since they have not yet divided the estate, so they're all living off this common estate. So that's when, says the Rashbam, that the halacha is, this is the way that this is the way we divide the estate, and no one has the right that they should complain. Not a question, they should have to live off the other person's needs. So of course the question that comes up when we learn this Gemara, what is the case? So the way the Ritva learns the Gemara, we're speaking about a case that the brothers are watching, and the younger brothers aren't satisfied with what the older brothers are doing, and the older brothers are dissatisfied with what the younger brothers are doing. But if they want to get along, and nobody's saying anything to anyone else, then the halacha, according to Ritva, is that the halacha that we just learned in our Mishnah would not be applicable. There are other Rishonim, however, disagree. And they say, even in a case where nothing was said, where nobody made any issue, and nobody made any claim, the halacha will be, since we have to be careful with the estate that was left over, then the halacha is that we have that they have to divide everything equally. The Rishpaiskim say that there are formulas for this. Is it that we give everybody, every expense has to be evaluated? Or do we give them an allowance and everybody could do with the allowance what they want? Nosagdolim, if they used, again, money from the estate to get married, the older brothers, Yisuk Tanim. So then when the younger brothers get married, they too are entitled to get money from the estate to get married. Mamruk Tanim, and if the younger brothers say to the older brothers, but in this case, the older brothers had gotten married while the father was alive, and the father had spent to make the wedding. And the younger brothers say, to our bad fortune, our father passed away before we had a chance to get married. But there's a fair assumption, they're saying, that our father would have spent money on our weddings just like he spent money on your weddings. We want to get married similarly and with the estate paying the same way the estate paid when you got married. The halacha is ain't shomelahem. We don't listen. Whatever they inherit, and Ritva says, Even if the father, when he had made weddings, had told his children, I want to treat all my children the same way, and therefore they have a claim that we know that that was what our father wanted, the halacha is that it doesn't make a difference. As if the father had not actually, if there's no will, a halachic will, and there we just don't make that assumption. However, what will be the halacha? Let's say they got engaged, and at the time they got engaged, the father had made commitments that this is what he's spending for the wedding, but he unfortunately did not live to actually make the wedding. So there, the Bach says, since it wasn't just, it's not the case that we just learned. In the case that we just learned, it's based on an assumption. In the case that we just described, the father had made a commitment. When the father had made a commitment, so there the halacha is that that commitment has to be honored, even though he's the father is no longer here to actually carry out that commitment. Next then, what's going to be halacha? Hiniach banos, if the father passed away and he left over daughters, gedolos v'ktanos, adult daughters and young daughters. Again, says the Mishnah, because again, older girls have different expenses than younger girls when it comes to clothing and food. So the halacha is enegdolos mispanos alidei ktanos, v'loy ktanos mizvanos alidei al gedolos, el cholkos b'shavim. Nasu gedolos, if the older daughters had gotten married after the father passed away and they used money from the estate to make that wedding, then yisuk tanis, then the younger girls are entitled to that as well. V'mamruk tanis, but if it was a situation where the older daughters had gotten married before the father had passed away and the father had got married off and spent whatever they spent, and now they're saying, harena noises kederach sinasatim etam, we feel that we deserve to get the same kind of expenditure on a wedding as you got, and Shem Lahem, they don't get them. The Tveres Yisrael says, why does the Mishnah have to say the halacha both by the boys and the girls? So he says, because we could see that the difference between clothing for the adults, boys, and food for the younger boys is not that significant. So maybe there, we let everybody have what they need. But in this case, where the difference is significant, because girls wear jewelry, which is more expensive than food, so we could understand that it has to be divided equally. Or we could say vice versa. Girls need that jewelry, and therefore maybe it should be considered a legitimate expense, and the state should have to pay for it. Teaches us the Mishnah that if there are different children with different needs, the way to divide the estate is only in a fair way. Chzeh Chai Mabonis Mabonim, says the Mishnah, there's a chumrah that exists by girls more than by boys. Shabonis Nazonis Alabonim, that if the father passed away and there are sons who are Yarshim, the first expense that we pay for is to support the daughter. But let's say the father had left over only daughters. So all the daughters, as we've often discussed, are Yarshim. So we still have the issue that some of the girls, that these young girls need to be supported. The halacha is that sons don't collect their Yerusha until their younger sisters are supported. But if it's only girls who were left over, everybody gets the Yerusha, and then they spend the Yerusha equally. Another way that the Nevukhi Yosef says that what the Mishnah means to say is that the halacha of our Mishnah only applies when the regular case of Yerusha is applying, which means, as we've been learning in our Masechta, there are the regular situation of Yerusha. And our Mishnah says, when we have the regular case of Yerusha, as much as the Yerusha should be divided amongst the Yarshim, the halacha still tells us that the young daughters are supported first. But let's say we have a situation. As long as we have a situation where the father had chosen one of the Yorushim to get a larger share of the Yerusha, so their halacha is that that fact that he gave that son or that daughter more than anyone else overrides and supersedes the halacha that we just learned. The Rashba and Ritva say that the Mishnah is teaching us that when we have a case where the younger children are upset about what the older children are spending, or vice versa, so that's when we have to divide everything equal. But if everybody is okay, so then the halacha is that we divide it and everybody takes what they need. The Torah, quoting Rabbeinu Yeshaya, disagrees. And the Torah says that even though everybody's trying to live in peace, it doesn't make a difference. They're not allowed to do it. They're not allowed to take, no one Yerush could take more than the other Yerush. The Aruch HaShulchan says the way to look at this question is it depends on how this family lived prior to the father's death. In a case that the father supported his children prior to his death, the Yerushim could continue from living the way that they lived before the father's death. So if before the father died, even though there were a number of children, they didn't all get the same amount of money, everybody got according to their needs, then the halacha, it stays that way after the father dies as well, if they're all agreeable. But in a case where the children were independent, and now the father passed away and they have this estate that they're inheriting, and now we're trying to figure out how to divide the assets of this estate, and we don't have a precedent from what happened before the father passed away, then the din of the Mishnah that they have to divide equally is operative, even if we don't hear anybody complaining. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Haigol Achi, the oldest brother, the Lovish V'Ichsi Mibaisei, that went and spent money to buy nice clothing from the estate, the loch is my David Ovid. What he did is done. So normally the pshat in this Gemara, and that's the way the Rashbam explains to this, is that since typically it is the older brother, the oldest brother, who takes care of all of the financial needs, and he's doing business, and a person who's doing business is dressed as well as he goes out to business meeting. Another pshat that I saw is that it's not that he's dressing well for the business meetings that he's attending. We want that all of the family should respect this oldest brother, who's presumably the person that's making the decisions. And the way you get people to respect you is by dressing well. Tosfos in Masechta Baba Kama, however, says, let's say as the older brother is taking money for this purpose, the other brothers protest, so of course he has no right to take that money. The Ritva, quoting the Rashbam, that even if this older brother, as we just finished explaining, is taking care of all of the business affairs, they have no right to protest. And even in a case that they're protesting, he's entitled to, it's a fair expense that he's allowed to take. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say this halacha? Have we not just learned in our Mishnah v'natanan, ein gedolim espanis en al ketanim, that the younger brothers do not have to support the older brother's lifestyle? Answers the Gemara, masnisim besarcha. Our Mishnah is speaking about a person who's now working. So as we just explained, what is the reason that the older brother is entitled to wear nicer clothing? Because of what he's doing, and he deserves that respect. But if this person is not working, he doesn't have a claim to get nicer clothing. Answers the Marpshita. Well, of course, if he doesn't have a fair reason to get the nicer clothing, he's not entitled to that. Answers the Gemara, Ma'at Tame the Nichle the Noid Limvil. Even if he's not doing it, doing this job, but still the brothers don't want that the older brother should have this level of respect that comes with nicer clothing, Kamash Malon, he only has a right to make that demand is only in a case where he's using it for a proper purpose. The Sefer Sifsei Chaim discusses, we learned in Amos Sechta so many times that a Bechor gets Pishnayim. And of course the question is, why is the Bechor entitled to Pishnayim just because he was born first? So he says, our Gemara opens up our eyes to this question. Because typically, if there's a son who's a Bechor, he's going to be the one that's going to be managing the state. Since he's going to be the one that's managing the state, he's entitled to nicer clothing. And that's what the Pishnayim is there for, to have the ability to be able to spend money on clothing that he'll be able to use for whatever needs he has. And I saw that the Sefer Ksava Kabbalah actually uses this Gemara to teach us a very, very fundamental question. We all know that one of the reasons that the entire story of Yosef HaTzadik happened was because Yosef, his father Yaakov Avinu, gave him Ksonis Pasim, gave him a nicer suit than all of his siblings. And the Gemara says, La'olam Ayishana Odom Bein Ben Abonis, one should not treat one child better than all the other children, because what Yaakov did ultimately led to what we know happened with the selling of Yosef as a slave. So the question, of course, is, how did Yaakov Avinu do what he did? How did Yaakov Avinu indeed give Yosef a nicer suit than he gave all the other siblings? The answer is based on our Gemara, says the Ksava Kabbalah. Because the same Ksava Kabbalah says that what our Gemara is teaching us is that when a brother is the one that's going to be leading the family and leading the family business dealings, he's entitled to a nicer suit. Yaakov Avinu recognized and realized that that would be the role that Yosef plays. That's why Yaakov Avinu felt that it was most legitimate that he should buy Yosef and give Yosef the Ksonis Pasim. The Mishnah said, Nosuk Doilus Yisuk Tanim, and asked the Gemara, my Kamar, what does the Mishnah mean? And the Gemara says, as we explained, the Mishnah, Amar Yehuda Hach Kamar, Nosuk Doil Machem Mises Aviyim, if the older women got married after the father passed away, and they used the father's assets to pay for their weddings, so then when the younger girls get married, Yisuk Tanim, doesn't mean girls necessarily, boys the same, when they get married, they also allowed to get their expenses paid from the estate. Ava Nosu G'dayim B'chai Aviyim, if the older children got married when the father was still alive. And Amruk Tanim L'acham Mises Aviyim, and now the younger children are getting married after the father passed away, and they make a claim, Hareinu Nosim, we want to get married and we want to have the estate pay for the wedding. Kederech shenasatem atem, just like you got married when our father was alive and he paid for your wedding. Ein shem loy, that is not considered a legitimate claim. Ella mashenosnam aviyim noson, the ones that got when the father's alive has no bearing on what they're going to get after the father passes away. Haniyak banas gdalos v'ktanas, sholach le avur b'gneiv l'rova, yilamdeinu rabbeinu, lofson, if a woman borrowed money when she was single, vachla, and she used up that money, and amdus v'nosus, and now she gets married. And a woman, as we often discuss, when she gets married, she brings assets into the marriage. But those assets are mortgaged to the money that she owes to her creditors. So now the question is, but now those assets are no longer in her control. They're in the control of her husband. And the question that comes up is, how do we look at the husband's position regarding those assets? Balakechava, is the husband considered like a lekeach, like somebody who purchased those assets? Or is he considered like a yorush of those assets? And what's the nafkamina, explains the Gemara. Lekeachava, or malva pei negoiv malkuchis. If he's a lekeach, and this was a loan that's not committed to writing, they have no recourse. However, Dilma Yairishava, and as we've been learning so many times in our shiurim, if a father passes away and he leaves his assets to his children have to pay off his debts. Or Malva Peh, Goyvim and Ayarshim. Amalei, So Rava said to Avu b'gneiva tanina, we learned in our Mishnah, nasuk dals yisuk tanis. That was a statement made in our Mishnah. So suggest the Gemara, my love, what does that statement presumably mean? Nasuk dals labal, if the older daughters got married, yisuk tanis mibal, that if the older daughters got married and they took these assets into their husbands, the younger girls who are entitled to whatever they're entitled are allowed to take what's owed to them from the husband. But if the husband is not considered a Yairish, a Lekeach, they have no recourse. Says the Gemara, loy, that's not what the Mishnah means. Nosuk Dal Slabal, if they used the estate to pay off for the wedding of the older daughters, Yisuk Tanis Labal, we use the estate to pay off for the weddings of the younger daughters. Eini, says the Gemara, Vatani Rav Chia, didn't Rav Chia say in the Braisa, Nosuk Dal Slabal, he clearly says that if the older daughters got married and they brought assets to their husbands, the younger daughters have a lien and a mortgage on those assets, and therefore, Yisuk Tanis Mibal, the younger daughters could use those assets to demand to get married with. Answers the Gemara, Shani, Dilma Shani Panos Des Lekola. Even if we'll say that that's what the Mishnah says, there's a difference. There's a difference when they're collecting for their marriage or for their support. And the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. We often discuss if somebody has a loan, is there a mortgage automatically on all of his assets or not? And the Gemara says that there's a difference between a milva b'shtar, a loan that's a written loan, versus a milva apeh, a loan that's not written. What's the difference? So we always explain, a milva b'shtar has a call. People know about that loan. So somebody who buys an asset, a property that has a mortgage on it, he knows that there's a mortgage on this property, and he buys it, he knows he's taking a risk. A milva peh doesn't have a call, and you buy it, you didn't know there was this mortgage, and therefore you cannot and should not be held responsible. Taking this discussion one step further, we're speaking about here the world younger daughters. When this husband married one of the older daughters and got these assets, he knew that his wife has younger sisters. And he knew that those younger sisters need to be supported. And he knew that these younger sisters have to get married. So there's a call, and it becomes like a milva b'shtar that you have a right to collect. But a milva that's not b'shtar, if there was just money owed, there we don't have any proof that the husband would have to pay off those debts. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rapapala Rava, Lav Hainu, isn't this what Sholach Ravin Bagarte? The Ravin sent the following letter. He said, Misha Mesve Nech Amon of Abbas. Somebody passed away and he left over an Amon and a daughter. Amon of Nizonis Menachosov. The Tanaik Suba require that the father's estate be used to pay to support the Amonah. Nisus Abbas, if the daughter gets married and the daughter was the only daughter and she got the Yerusha from her father, and now that Yerusha she brings to her marriage and gives to her husband, the halacha is Amonah Nizonis Menachosov. The Amonah has a right to collect from those assets. Mesa Habas, if the daughter died that married a man, and now the husband, as we learned in our beginning of our parak, is her Yairish. Om Rabbi Yehuda ben Achash, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Ayodeh Hayamaisa, I had such a situation, Vram Shalmanas, the Zonis Menachosov, that the Amonah still gets supported from those assets, even though it's not by the daughter anymore, it's by her husband. So the Gemara makes the point. If we're going to say that the way we look at the husband is as a Yairish, we understand why he's entitled, why she collects. Because it's money that's owed, and the estate has to pay that money, the Yarshim. Says the Gemara, if Ravin had not sent us this, would we not have known this halacha? We know that anything that was sold, when Yovel comes, it's the all sales revert back. There are certain things that are not considered a sale. And therefore, when Yovel comes, they don't revert back. What an example. Bechor. Bechor de got pishnaim. So as we've learned many times in our Masechta, the Torah describes what the Bechor gets as a matana. As the Torah Kedoshah says, losses loy pishnaim. Gifts don't revert back by Yovel. And Yorish Ashishtai. So the husband who inherited his wife, the halach is when you purchase something, so when Yovel comes, it reverts back to the original owner. But if you're not somebody who purchased something, if you got it as Yerusha, then when Yovel comes, it doesn't revert back to where it came from. So we see clearly that a husband is a Yorish. Amalei Rava, the hast of the shalach, and now that Ravin sent this letter that the husband's a Yorish, Miya Dinan, is that indeed the case? But ask the Gemara, Hamar of Yosef Chanina, Usha Skina, and Usha they made up a law, Sheisha Shemarcha v'nechse melug b'chai bala, if a wife had sold off those assets that she brought into the marriage, those nechse melug while her husband was alive, and the assumption was that she will outlive the husband, but it doesn't always happen that way, Umesa, and then she died before the husband, but the halacha is, if a husband is only a Yorish, so we of course know the halacha is, if you have an individual who owned assets, and then he, during his lifetime, he sold the assets, and then he passes away, of course those assets that he had sold while he was alive prior to his death, there's no Yerusha on those assets. So now the question is, if the husband's only a Yorish, why could he have recourse back to the people that his wife sold those assets to? He's only a Yorish. El Amar Vashi Habal Shavir Banaka Yorish. The way to look at the husband is he has the best of both worlds. Sometimes he's treated like a Yorish, and Shavir Rabbanaka Lakeich. Vehech the Tavdalei, Avdalei. And we always do what's to his benefit. So therefore, by Yovel, where it's to his benefit to be treated like a Yorish, so when Yovel comes, he won't have to give back what he received. Shavu Rabbanan ki Yorish. Mishum said today that he should not lose what he had. Gaba, Rav Yosef of Chanina, in this case where the wife sold off the Nechse Melug, there Shavu Rabbanan Klakeach, and she can't sell something that he owns. Mishum said today, Gaba the Amar Ravin, and when we speak about the case that Ravin spoke about, where the almana is being supported from those assets. So that is a new consideration. And that's Mishum Pesedet Almana. We're concerned about the almana, and that's why Shavir Rabbanan Kiyorish, we treat him as a Yorish. The Tosfos explains, the Remaskel Gabi, that the way to understand the Gemara Shavir Rabbanan is not really exact. What the Gemara means to say is as follows. The midoraisa, a husband is considered a Yorish. In certain circumstances, Chazal said that halacha remains in effect under all circumstances. And sometimes, like the case that we just learned, because of Hefsed Almana, they sometimes treat him like a Yorish and sometimes treat him like a Lekeach. Says the Gemara V'Agaba, the Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, that we learned that the husband takes from the Lekuchas, Dikup say the Lekuchas was Shavir Rabban Lekeach. So the Gemara asks a question. The wife sold her Nachsi Malug to people. And on the assumption that she will outlive her husband. But then her husband outlived her. So Gemara says that sale that she sold becomes null and void. And the husband takes those assets back from the people who bought the Nechse Melug from the wife. So those people who bought it end up being in a bad place. So why are we not concerned about them? If we see, just like we're concerned, ask the Gemara about the Almana, we should be concerned about them. Answers the Gemara, Hossam Inu Afsida Nafshayu. They, when they bought these assets, knew what they were getting themselves into. Because Kivan Dikabal, they knew it as a husband, and they knew that we can't predict anything for certain in life. And maybe the wife will die before the husband. And then the husband becomes the owner of these assets. So they took that risk. They should have never bought assets that way. And if they bought assets that way, it was the risk that they took. And if she dies before the husband, then they will lose those assets. Haran loch yeshnoichlam, haran loch yeshnoichlam, haran loch yeshnoichlam. Says the Mishnah, Mishemes. Somebody passed away. And as we began the previous perek, the halacha is the midaraisa, only sons are yarshim, daughters are not yarshim. But Chazal said that the estate has to support the daughters. That a question is, till when is that rule apply? So says the Mishnah, Mishemes, if somebody passed away, v'nich banam banas, he left sons and daughters. Bezman shen nechasim merubim, when there's plentiful assets, habanam yirshu, the sons get the Yerusha, they divide it, v'banas yizaynu, and the daughters are supported from those assets. However, nechasim atam, where there aren't enough assets for everybody to have, so the halacha is habanas yizaynu, we first are concerned for the daughter's welfare, and they get supported off those assets. And the boys will have to go collect stucker if there's not enough for them as well. The question, of course, that the Rishonim discuss is what is considered that they're going to get supported. So the Rashbam's opinion is Parnosas Abayis means what they need to live, and also what they need to get married. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says that all that they're entitled to is what they need for living expenses, not to get married. Admon says it doesn't make sense, and what Admon says is b'shvil shani zocher hefsadati. The way to understand what Admon says is that in halacha, the son is much stronger than the daughter, as we so extensively learned in our previous parak, that the son is entitled to Yerusha and the daughter is not. And what happens now is that the son is getting less than the daughter. And to which Rabbi Gamliel comments, I'm Rabbi Gamliel, Roya Nistiri Admon. I agree with what Admon said. At the Seder every night, we say, B'chol Davidor, Chayv Adam Lirisus Atzma Kil Yotzim Mitzrayim. So the Sefer Kol Mevaser says that, what does it mean, Chayv Adam Lirisus Atzmai? So on one hand, he says, a person should always act in a modest, humble fashion, to think that he's not really deserving. But when it comes to Avodas Hashem, then the person should do what's necessary. Chayv Adam Liros Asatzma, just like Admon says, Liros means to think about the situation and come to the proper conclusion. At the Seder, we're supposed to recognize that we are the special people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and took for that purpose and took us to the out of the Mitzrayim. And I saw that the Shomer Amunim says that the way to look at this is that a person, as we just said, is supposed to act in a humble, modest fashion. So if a person, an animal, doesn't have that ability. So the question is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supports everyone. So do we say that the animal and the insects that HaKadosh Baruch Hu support have no problem recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's support and how great they are, that they are the recipients? And here we're saying, a person has to think that I'm not worthy of anything. And that we're supposed to think, he explains, like Admon says, B'shvil shani zocher, because I am a human being, hesadati, do I deserve this? I don't deserve to not, I have to recognize, lirois, that if I'm a human being and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for me, that I deserve to, I need to be better, not worse. So the commissioner spoke about if there's nechasim merubim and there's nechasim u'atim. So the question is, how is that determination made? Kama merubim, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, kedei shiyazaynu hen elu ve'elu, that all of the children should have enough support for shneim asach chodesh, for 12 months. And the way I saw the Rishonim explains the Gemara, that once we have enough for 12 months, that's enough to not have to worry. We don't know what's going to be, but once there's 12 months, we don't think any further. Says the Gemara, Kamritika Shmuel, when I said this halacha to Shmuel, Amazud Rebbe Gamaliel Barebi. Avachama Oimrim, Kadesh Zerna Elam Elu Ashibagru. That's not being, we have to be a little more far-sighted. And if they have many years until they become adults, just giving them panosa for 12 months is not adequate. And we have to make a calculation that this should be enough until they become adults. Itmanami, Yasser Rav and Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vamalei Amar Rabbi B'Bechan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Shizonim and Elu Ve'elu Achir Bagru, that there is enough for everybody to have support until they become adult. That's merubin. If there isn't enough for all of that, pachs mekan el ma'atim. Ask the Gemara, elekel elu elu ad shibagru. If we don't have enough for that poise, shakel hu abonus lakula, so then are the daughters entitled to all of the assets? There's more than what the daughters need. We're learning that there has to be enough for all of the children. All of the children include the sons and daughters. Ela amarava, so Rava, the way he explains it like this. Elahem mezonos labonos asher bagru. We have to first make a calculation. How much will these girls need until they become adults? And that's taken off first. And everything that's left afterwards, v'sha'al labonim, go to the sons.